June 17th, and this is a special planning commission meeting. In attendance are Sherman Howard, Richard Howard, Alan Weiss, Matt Jewison, and John Valenti. Could I have a volunteer to offer an invocation and lead us in the pledge? It's maybe my turn. Our Father in Heaven, we're grateful for the opportunity we have this evening to meet as a planning commission. We thank Thee for the opportunity we have in this country for self-government. We pray that Thou will attend us, that we might weigh the issue and make the best possible decision for the city of Laverkan. We ask for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item number B is approval of tonight's agenda.
I move that we approve tonight's agenda.
I'll second that.
Motion by Matt, second by John. All in favor?
Aye.
Item number C is business. Number one, discussion and possible action for recommendation to the City Council regarding Interstate Rock Project's critical infrastructure materials protection area.
Sure, can I just take a few words?
Would you please?
Sort of introduce this a little bit, kind of remind people where we are. You'll recall that originally we were supposed to have our recommendation, written recommendation to the City Council by June 16th, but we got a 1 week extension on that period, mainly so that we can explore possibility of settlement with an agreement. That hasn't happened yet. And whatever we do tonight, there's still going to be time to explore that possible resolution with some sort of a settlement agreement before the City Council takes action. But at least at this point, we don't have that agreement in place. But with that 1 week's extension, that puts us from the 16th until next week. But knowing the City Council meeting was meeting tomorrow night, we called a special meeting so that we could continue our discussion from the last meeting and come up with our own recommendation in time to give to the City Council for their discussions tomorrow night. The City Council will have basically two times to discuss this. One time will be tomorrow night, and then the other time will be at the public hearing on July 16th. And then they'll be required to make some sort of decision. So if we had not had the special meeting and had not given them our recommendation, they wouldn't have had it until their meeting on July 16th. From the public hearing. So that doesn't give them, it wouldn't have given them a lot of time to the recommendation of the advisory committee. We actually read through it word for word, and we had some discussion on it. In the meeting, we had I refer to it as a straw vote. It wouldn't be a straw vote, but we just kind of asked people how they felt. And based on that, staff determined that it was likely, although not by any means a sure thing, that the Planning Commission was leaning towards granting approval or recommendation, at least for approval from SIMPA. So based on that, staff came up with its own motion and findings and conditions for approval, which I think the Planning Commission has had a chance to look at over the last day or so. By no means are you going to be required to adopt these findings. If you had others you wanted to adopt, you certainly could do that. If you wanted to strike some of these, add new ones, or do away with these altogether, it's completely at your pleasure. But hopefully at the end of tonight's meeting, we will be in a position where we can make some sort of a motion, one way or the other, to recommend approval or deny approval, so that we can then provide that to the City Council in time for their meeting tomorrow night.
Thank you. And before we start, let me just go over the staff's recommendations for modification of the SIMPA. There are 8 points. One, that the nature and extent of Interstate Rock's future operations on the property be limited to the same or similar operations as now being conducted by Interstate Rock. Two, that future extraction operations within the protection area be limited to those areas earmarked by Interstate Rock for operations over the next 30 years. Three, that approval of the protection area be subjected to Interstate Rock's agreement not to seek establishment of a concrete batch plant or asphalt plant within the protection area. Four, that approval of the protection area be subject to Interstate Rock's agreement not to seek expansion of its sand, rock, and gravel extraction operations to new land. Five, that approval of the protection area be conditioned upon Interstate Rock's agreement not to use the protection area as a storage site for inoperable, worn-out, unused, or abandoned equipment, vehicles, trash, debris, or other construction materials that have no useful purpose. Six, that provision be made for the extension of Main Street over, across, and through the property in a manner satisfactory to the City of Laverkan. Seven, that Interstate Rock provide a plan of reclamation describing A, how the disturbed areas will be graded and restored to a condition suitable for post-extraction land use, B, types of vegetation to be planted, seeding rates, and methods, C, time schedule for reclamation phases of the project, and D, methods to be used for dust control, erosion control, and for prevention of the accumulation of water that might contaminate sources of water supply or become a breeding ground for mosquitoes. And eight, that access from SR 17 onto 740 North to Main Street and continuing north to the pit should be recognized as the most preferred entrance to the interstate pit area. This strategic designation will significantly ease the congestion currently experienced by trucks at the SR9 entrance, particularly during peak tourist seasons and busy school traffic. County Advisor Advisor Committee, page 7, item F, says avoid roadway access through other subdivisions or residential developments on 740 North or Grand Teton Street. Public roadway connections shall be constructed and repaired at the property owner's expense as provided by an agreement of the property owners. So this is a little change to that, redirecting the traffic off from SR9.
So those things that you just read, just so we're all clear, those are conditions of approval that we're recommending. Those are conditions that we're approving as part of, that we're recommending approval as part of the motion to approve the SIMBA. Now, there may be others you want to include there, or you may want to modify some of that language in some of those items. I can think of one item that I think might need to be that might need to be changed a little bit, and that's provision number six, that the provision of the number six, that provision be made for the extension of Main Street over approximate through property in a manner satisfactory to the city of Lurkin. I think we need to maybe add some clarifying language that is also subject to the terms of the 2006 agreement between the adjoining landowners and interstate law, because there are provisions in there that are for the protection of the landowners there. So that's an example of a change I think we could make. And there may be others that you think ought to be included.
Discussion.
I did have the one question that I talked to you at some point about, and that was whether there would be a mechanism to just shrink the size of the SIMBA and exclude, say, all of the lands east of the Main Street extension.
That's a possibility. That's something, if you want to make that recommendation, then certainly your motion to, let's say your motion to approve the SIMBA could be based on that as one of the conditions. That the SIMBA exclude from its boundaries that area lying east of Main Street.
Yeah, it seemed like that would get us out of the, you know, the issue of takings, because it's not likely that we would be taking any property inside of that other area, because it's already slated for roads and the developments that are already there, and even that extensive area that's beyond Main Street. I don't know that there'd be a likely, reasonable or probable alternative to that space anyway.
I broached that subject with Chase Stratton at one point. I asked him, how would you feel if the planning commission recommended that land west, or east rather, of Main Street be taken out of the SIMBA? And he said, well, we'd rather have it in there, but, you know, if that's what the planning commission wants, then we can make that recommendation. So, and even if we don't make that recommendation, the city council could make that recommendation. Could do that. So,
is there sand and gravel yet to be extracted on the east side of Main Street, or is it all west where the pit currently is, and areas north and west of that?
I don't know the answer to that question.
I think when they spoke to that issue, they said it was kind of it was greater overburdening of that piece of land, so it'd take an awful, you know, effort to get down to the sand and gravel.
I remember them saying that now.
But that would be well after the expiration of any of the 20-year period for the SIMBA anyway.
That seems to be about maybe roughly half of their property that they're looking for the SIMBA for, I thought, just in looking at their schematics.
Now, the County Advisory Board did not make that recommendation that that land be left out, but no matter, if we felt like that's what ought to happen, we can make that recommendation. Or we can include that in our recommendation.
Further discussion? Questions? We're required by the state statute to make a ruling either for or against, so, and this goes tomorrow night to the City Council.
I guess I didn't speak fast enough.
Oh, speak.
And I get about 3 minutes. Here's my thoughts on this, because I've thought about it a lot, and there's a lot of really smart people trying to do the best for Interstate Walk and this thing. Just going back to when I was a kid, we used to all ride horses around the Green Valley, and then we'd go down. I had a friend that lived down there in Donkey Hall, and I couldn't believe anybody would want to live down there because it was just hot and dry and dusty. Fast forward to now, where development and growth has brought us to where most cities are meeting in the middle. We have a beautiful property down there along the Brooklyn Creek. I mean, that's just, and I think Interstate Rock has probably played a big part in making that happen. So I know that everybody's interest here is trying to find the best way forward to protect Interstate Rock. I'm also concerned about where the city it gets to play in that. I'm actually, eminent domain is something that's affected our family directly. My father's home, his childhood home where he was born, the eminent domain, the freeway went down the center median where his house was. Just a few years later, and his property over at Leeds, eminent domain put a freeway right through there. I-15 goes right through the property where my father's property was and split it in two. And as much as I don't like eminent domain, what if we didn't have that capability? I-15 would look like this, or it wouldn't look at all, because these SEMPAs, I would love to have a SEMPA and be able to build a line around my property that says you can't do anything with it. Looking at the needs of Interstate Rock and our needs, just as an example, if you go south of Hurricane, the only main north-south road to the airport narrows just south of the intermediate school, and at some point they're going to have to widen that. And if the property owners don't want to sell, you need eminent domain in order to widen that road or any other structure. And what you're afraid of is capricious actions that might happen in the future. And I'm sure Interstate Rock is concerned about that because as the growth comes forward, the airport out there in Hurricane is under threat because there's a lot of people in city government in Hurricane that would like to see it closed and develop other things. You can move an airport. Interstate Rock can't move its sand and gravel for another 30 years. So I'm speaking out of both sides of my mouth, but to get to my point, House Bill 355 provides a lot of protections already for people that operate something like Interstate Rock does. These provisions, I love them. I think that they're wonderful. I look down at findings in support of the motion at number 8, and it talks about the very thing I know Interstate Rock's concerned of. Concern about litigation of property owners and providing additional protection against eminent domain. So I speak in two minds here, but I also have to think of what the Planning Commission's purpose is in planning for the future of the city for all involved. We want to create an environment where business can operate, and we want to protect the homes and property and the future planning ability of the citizens and the city leaders that are going to be in charge of that. So if we each had a little SIMPA to protect ourselves, the city would be able to have an overall master plan that could make a smooth flow of things. So all that to be said, I think the World Interstate Rock, I've dealt with them a lot. I think they're great people. I'm hoping that House Bill 355 provides lots of protections for them, and any addendums that we can add to it without the city giving up its ability to plan for some future contingency that may not include Interstate Rock. Interstate Rock may sell out to some larger entity someday, I don't know. The idea is that in the Planning Commission's responsibility, I'm thinking of what do we need to do to ensure that the city has an ability to do as much planning and future decisions for the city and for the people, business and property owners. Long speech, my thoughts.
Thank you.
Can I just make a couple of comments about that, just to make sure we all understand? I'm not sure I understood everything that you said. But if we granted the SIMBA, we don't give up all rights to regulate the SIMBA territory, the SIMBA land. If it relates to the public health and safety, then we do retain regulatory rights to pass ordinances, rules, regulations that pertain to health and safety. Okay, so that's one thing. We don't give up all rights. We do retain that right to regulate for public health and safety. And then the other point is, as far as eminent domain is concerned, if we recommend the SIMBA and the City Council approves the SIMBA, the City Council would still be able to condemn if it needed to, but it would make it much more difficult to do so. It would have to, at a minimum, we'd have to obtain the consent of the advisory committee. There would have to be a public hearing, and there would have to be some other things happen in order for the city to be able to condemn property within the SIMBA. Of course, if we don't do the SIMBA, then we retain the right to condemn if the use is for public use and if it's necessary for a public purpose. So.
And not just the city, but the other water conservancy district and the other actors would have to.
They'd have the same rights if we did not approve the SIMBA. With the SIMBA, they would have to jump through those additional hoops. They would have to get permission from the city council, the advisory board. There'd have to be a public hearing, and then there's some additional things. I can't remember exactly what it all entails, but they would have to jump through those additional hoops as well.
I think anyone on that side of having the property in the domain would rather have more public hearings and, you know, entities to jump through more hoops to get their land, and sometimes they do now, and they come through and kind of bully their way through, and you're left trying to get all the scraps you can. So
again, I see it as a relatively small piece of land in the town. You know, if you look at the size of the town, you know, even the developed part of the town is a few square miles. And we're talking about 115 or 16 acres of land, of which already 45 are sort of promised to a sand and gravel operation and future building. So that piece of land is already pretty much promised the way it is. It's going to be developed, and it's going to become housing. So you have the other piece of the property that's pretty much like a lot of the town in the outlying areas look like. Deep canyons, high hills, even to put a road through those areas, I can't really see much in the way of a road being able to go through there. And if that's the best piece of property, then again, the standard for condemning it and taking it, if there was nothing else available, might actually be a little bit easier anyway. All of the safety issues, I've seen a lot of activity into the safety issues, trying to make sure that, dust control, any technology that comes on board to improve health and safety issues for the people who live in the area, they've kind of gone a long way for that. And I see it a little bit differently. I would tend to lean more in support of the SIMBA. Of course, what we are is a recommending body. We're not going to approve anything. The city council is the one that's going to decide. But I've looked at the findings that supported the motion. I feel comfortable with them. And you know, I feel comfortable enough to make a motion if the committee wants to entertain it.
Further discussion?
I just thought maybe, you know, I don't know if my thoughts really mean one way or other. I just, you know, growing up in this area too, and I always noticed, you know, you kind of like to have a little bit of protection of stuff. People that have previously owned properties, like maybe a cattle ranch or something like that, and then all the properties around it sell, and pretty soon the owner of the cattle ranch, everybody's voting them and making them move, or because their cows sting, but they were there long before the people came, and seeing some of that kind of happen, so you kind of like that. But then, you know, we've got this good-looking subdivision down there, all kind of participating in part of the help of Interstate Rock and Laverkin working together for a master plan that seems to be working out pretty, I think looks pretty good, and they've been pretty willing to help and work with things. So it's just kind of, I don't know what that means one way or another, but way out of thinking.
Hey.
I was going to say, before we get to a motion either way, I think if the proposed motion is to approve, I think maybe it might be a good idea to go over the findings in support of the motion. We just read in the conditions that should be attached to that approval, but we probably ought to discuss the findings, the proposed findings, and see which of those you're willing to adopt, and which are, you know, that you don't like, or see if there's something different that you want to support that. And that's just simply to make sure that our record reflects that we talked about these things and we covered all our bases in terms of the five criteria spelled out by the Utah Code. So I think we ought to take a moment just to read over the findings in support of the motion. If you'd like, I would do that, or somebody else could do that.
Let's do that, perhaps.
Want to take one at a time?
Let's take one at a time.
I don't have the current copy of it.
I'll share.
Okay.
So let's read them one at a time, and if there are comments, please interrupt us before we get to the next finding so we can discuss them.
For our finding number one, Interstate Rock's use of the property for extraction of sand, gravel, and rock constitutes a critical infrastructure materials operation and is eligible for consideration as a critical infrastructure materials protection area under Utah Code 1741-101 at SEC.
And if there's no discussion, let's just move to the next.
Okay. Two, Interstate Rock sand, gravel, and rock extraction operations have been conducted on the property for over 30 years, long before encroaching residential development in the vicinity of the property was approved or constructed.
Finding number three, Interstate Rock estimates that there is sufficient supply of sand, gravel, and rock to sustain extraction operations on the property for at least another 30 years.
Although the property is zoned RA1, Interstate Rock sand, gravel, and rock extraction operation has been recognized by the city as a legal non-conforming use for the from the time of its annexation of the city of Laverkin. And I think it's not so much discussion, Fay, as you said, that because of grandfathering, we don't really need to worry about this, correct?
I'm sorry, say it again. Oh, but basically, the reason why that was included in the findings, these first four findings are meant to reflect the five criteria of the Utah Code, and one of them is they want to know how the property is zoned. And so that's why that particular...
But with them operating as non-conforming doesn't exclude them from being eligible, right?
Or needing to be rezoned.
No. They're operating now as a legal existing non-conforming use. If we grant the SIMPA, they'll be able to continue to do that as a legal non-conforming use. If we don't grant the SIMPA,
mm-hmm.
they'll be able to continue as a legal non-conforming use.
Either way.
Yeah.
Number five, because interstate dock is consistently complied with the state and federal standards with respect to safety, noise, and fatigue that fugitive dust, interstate rocks extraction operations have resulted in no significant safety or health concerns.
Finding number six, because of future anticipated growth in Washington County, the demand for construction materials, including sand, gravel, and rock, is expected to grow from about 4.1 million tons in 2024 to 8.5 million tons in 2060, with much of that demand coming from construction projects located in eastern Washington County in close proximity to Interstate Rocks operations site.
That information actually came, I think Chase Stratton included that in one of his earlier presentations, but it came from a study done by Stantec at the behest of the state legislature to study all this critical infrastructure material operations, and that's where that information, that was the conclusion that they came to.
Finding seven, the land is viable for critical materials operation in the future because of the plentiful supply of critical infrastructure and materials within the proposed protection area, as well as the property's central location to transportation corridors in close proximity to SR 17 and I 15, which would support efficient operation and distribution.
Number eight, Interstate Rock's purpose in requesting approval of the critical infrastructure materials protection area is primarily to ensure that it can continue to operate its sand, gravel, and rock extraction activities in a way which is consistent with current operations without threat of nuisance litigation from adjacent property owners and to provide additional protections against the use of eminent domain.
Okay, here's my sticking point. And I understand that the Sherman just talked about the cattle ranch. Y'all remember the story of the little house in the city, and the city grew up around it, and the house was surrounded by all these big buildings. And Interstate Rock can't move itself. It has to stay there, and it's also providing, it's kind of like the fire that heats the pot. But if the water spills out on it, it puts out the fire. So it is a commingling of needs. We need Interstate Rock. They have the product down there that's critical to the development of the county, and we need to protect it. I know that's why House Bill 355 was written and some of these recommendations here. Speaking against my natural nature, but thinking of our responsibility for as the Planning Commission, Interstate Rock needs to be protected from capricious actions that might come along. But also, we need to be able to have, as a city or a planning commission or city leaders, an ability, and you talk about we can do it if we go through a lot of hoops. And maybe those hoops are to prevent capricious actions. But still, it's my sticking point that to grant a complete protection without the city getting something out of the deal isn't providing for the citizens that we're representing the kind of thing that I'm seeing that we might need when it's already in House Bill 355 and anything that we can have is an addendum. So it's a sticking point with me. You ask.
Thank you. Thank you. Number nine, if you're up for it.
Number nine, the operation of concrete batch plant or asphalt plant is not an existing legal use on that property and therefore is not a use within the meaning of the code, Utah Code 10-9A-903.
I think this was the issue that started all the concerns. And it's been, you know, put to rest a long time ago. And I just, you know, it's caused meeting after meeting after meeting, information of social media, et cetera, and that, I'm glad to see it in here, and that they recognize finally there is no, you know, batch plan, yeah, or asphalt plan.
Item number 10, the city will retain authority to pass ordinances or regulations with respect to the critical infrastructure materials operation, as long as such ordinances or regulations bear a direct relationship to public health or safety.
Yeah, that was the point I was emphasizing a little bit ago. We do give up some regulatory authority for SMPA, but if it bears a direct relationship to health and safety, then we can pass regulations that pertain to that.
Let's see, finding 11. Continued operations of extractions of sand, gravel, and rock will provide much needed construction materials for regional roadways, residential and commercial development, and other infrastructure projects in Washington County at a reasonable cost, and will help to eliminate the need to import such materials from out of state at a significantly higher cost.
And finally, the last one, number 12, continued operation of Interstate Rock's critical materials extraction operations will provide employment opportunities for Laverkan residents and will contribute to the healthy economy of Laverkan as well as all of Washington County. Further discussion before I entertain a motion. And after the motion, we'll do a roll call vote on it.
I'll entertain a motion.
As a result of the foregoing findings, the Planning Commission believes that the approval of the Critical Infrastructure Materials Protection Area will be beneficial not only to the residents of Laverkan, but also to all residents of Washington County. So I hereby move that the Planning Commission recommend the approval of the SMPA for Interstate Rock.
Are you also attaching with the conditions?
With the conditions that we've discussed, I'm sorry.
And then based on the findings as well.
We need to include the Main Street provisions that you brought up with.
That was condition number 8.
Yeah, but adding to that,
yeah, you want
clarifying
that. You want to add some language to that particular condition.
Yeah.
That we include
clarification of the previous.
Clarification as to the rights of the adjoining landowners vis-a-vis the 2006 agreements.
Yeah.
So was that all adequate? It kind of was a motion from many. I would entertain a second.
I'll second that motion.
Motion by John, second by Matt. Sure.
These are all really, I think we've kind of covered a lot of all of this, the concerns that I've been thinking about anyway, that's kind of brought up. I'll agree with Ford.
Richard?
No. With the conditions, sorry, that which I'm meaning.
Yeah. So that was a nay from Richard. Yay from me. Matt?
Yay for me. I think all the conditions set out and kind of went over some of the issues I had and clarified a lot of things, so that's a yay for me.
John?
Yes.
Okay. That brings us to item number F, and we're adjourned.
Well, Hugh wasn't here today.
Hugh wasn't here.